Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Elevated Places Network. Tonight we present Ask Minister Ava with myself, your host, Ava Muhammad, and of course my illustrious co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. The executive producer is Sister Rona Muhammad, and our legal contributor is Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And of course, what makes this program the place to be is you, those who are listening in online at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And those of you who like to do it old school and call in, and of course the lines are rapidly filling up because you are calling in at 563-999-3065. And those of you who wish to weigh in, and many of you know the drill very well, you've already done it, but for those who don't, if you press the number one after you connect to the program, then we will know that you are desirous of joining in the conversation. And, of course, we commemorate it on the 7th of October, the birth date of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And there was a beautiful program last Thursday night that consisted of the prayer service and a stunning, to me, Brother Terrence, a stunning collage of film clips and photographs of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, and the minister singing in honor of his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then the beautiful photos of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's mother, Minister Farrakhan's mother, both of whom have birth names that are of the same derivative as the name Mary, Mother of Jesus. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's mother, her birth name was Marie, and the birth name of Minister Farrakhan's mother was May, M-A-E. She ultimately took the name Samaya, as her own. And so it was just beautiful to see last Thursday, that wonderful program. And so tonight we're going to discuss from the cover of the Final Call newspaper. In fact, we're going to get into this newspaper tonight. But we're going to definitely spend some time having you, the callers, weigh in on a true friend, the work, the mission, the purpose, and the value of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and why he remains critically important today. We're going to be joined this evening by the Nation of Islam Historical Archivist, a friend of this program and our brother, student minister Carlos Muhammad, to discuss reflections on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And also, Saturday is the 16th day of October. It will be the 26th anniversary of the Million Man March. And we're going to discuss that. And we're also going to look forward to a special call-in from Sherelle Muhammad, my daughter Sherelle, who is a senior at Howard University. We're going to go into some real-life activity. The students at Howard University are engaged as we speak in a peaceful protest over critical issues that are going on the Howard University campus, and she will give us the latest update on that. And the students are receiving support from a multitude of individuals and entities, but she'll give us a brief report on that. They're actually in the midst of it, so she's not going to be able to be long with us, and she's got other interviews besides this program as well, so we'll be hearing from her. And with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, man. It is so. It's hold on. Let me just say this, Dr. Ava. I'm looking at the skyline, and I'm looking at this old retired boat. As I'm looking, I'm in Norfolk, and I'm by the water. I said, let me just have a nice night and do such an Ava show out by the water. Now, if it was on Zoom,
that's
y'all
awesome.
Can see the lights. You know, flowing on the water, the bridge going over, the old retired boat ship. You know, because this is the place of the largest naval base north in this Virginia area in the Hampton Roads.
Right.
But I'm here. Yeah, I am here, you know, still doing some work in this particular area. But I had to preference this because I must be on this special high in this weather, and in this nice weather. It's nice outside, it's comfortable, the water, because that's the only reason, and I don't know if Brother Jamil is tuning in, and congratulations to Brother Jamil, who just recently got married, Sister Tisha and Brother Jamil. Yes, just got married the other day. I just found out last week, so
praise
you to Allah. Yes, Brother Jamil got married, but he will understand that I must be on a very, very, very big high for me to give a big shout out to the Howard University students, because you know I'm a diehard Aggie, but I love Dr. A. I can't wait to hear Sherelle talk about what they're doing at Howard University, because that is, and you know, it's funny, our executive producer want to also hit in on me and send the message and throwing up the HU, and I know we down in the Norfolk area. And it's not Hampton HU, it's a real HU, as they say, Howard University. But I say I love that. I love that because, yeah, I love it because as a student activist, when I was in North Carolina A&T, and the year I came in 89 and my conscious year came in 91, and when I came in, we was protesting mandatory black studies on a black college campus, and we start fighting, you know, oh, my, they going in on HU, the real HU at Howard. But, no, we did our activism, and that's where we learned how to really get into the community. I was in the community working as an activist, on a college campus working as an activist, and that's where I got my start, and that's where I got my beginning, just as I was working with Sister A.T. Kushmir this past Saturday when we were doing the Healthy Relations Initiative, talking about the vaccine mandate. But we started and we met from the Nation of Islam Student Association doing this work. So I love to hear that the activism of students are still going and that students are still pushing and still getting the fight. Because it is October and we are in the homecoming season, so there is no better way to make your statements known than when all of the alumni come in town and whatever issue that's going on, that you can put it out to the world and let them know. Because it's not just when you see stuff happening on college campuses, it's not just those students. Usually students are dealing with stuff that may be a college issue, but it also affects all of us. And usually students are the ones that are progressive and attacking social issues and injustices that are going on across the country and literally across the world, because it was the students that fought the apartheid movement on those college campuses. If you remember that old school day, school days movie, when they yell, "Wake up!" So I'm glad to hear that. That kind of inspired me. So let me get off that HU stuff, because I'm an Aggie Pride. Let me get back to my reality. Of course, Dr. Ava, I can never say it, and I will not stop saying it. Please continue to hear the guidance and the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because in my memory, 3 years ago, we was in Detroit at the Holy Day of Atonement, as you mentioned, this Saturday, March, the 26th year anniversary of the Million Man March. And, you know, 3 years ago, I remember being in the presence of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the Holy Day of Atonement in Detroit outside. Now, at a beautiful location, you know, the minister, he wanted to be outside, so we was outside, you know, boats in the water looking at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But we want you to make sure that you continue to listen to the criterion. The criterion is, look, it was picking up steam when it first was released, July 4th, 2020. But I'm saying that, Dr. Ava, because now the criterion is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm saying that because the attack is coming. All the people that are vaccinated, not vaccinated, this is a real discussion. And our brother Kyrie Irving, you know, he's going through it. He's catching it about his stance on vaccination. And everybody's going back and forth, black people. I made one post of a meme of him on my social media, and all day since I left the airport this morning till right now, people are going off on in a thread on that meme about Kyrie and what it means about being vaccinated and unvaccinated, and black people are having this real argument about it. And then I see a lot of my folks reaching out to me, saying, "I got the final call," or telling me, because they have heard the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so we need to hold our position, because he is the voice of God. He is the mouthpiece of God. Continue to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and all the guidance and instructions that he has given over the years, recently, even to our brother who just got installed in Chicago. The minister has not stopped teaching, and he has continued to teach and guide us. So, also for you to come back and learn more, as you may want more after you get this powerful word on Thursday night. Tomorrow is our self-improvement, the basis for community development. Come on and listen at 7:30 p.m. Go to NOI.org and then come celebrate the 26th anniversary of the Million Man March, Holy Day of Atonement, this Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org, brought to you by Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad. And back to hear Farrakhan speaks Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. NOI.org. So there's so much going on, Dr. Avon. I can talk about what's going on in the country, but I just wanted to drop on you all that after y'all get Sunday and before Wednesday, come back on October the 19th. Project Separation, the Elevated Places Network presents Project Separation, Building Our Promised Land, Hereafter Farms. Brother Farrakhan Ali, from consumers to producers. This will be live October the 19th at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with moderator Sister Donna, special guest Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, and Brother Cartier as another moderator. This will be on YouTube via Project Separation. You can go on Zoom or just go to MinisterAva.com. That's the best way, and you need to go there anyway. Go to MinisterAva.com because there's so much else that you need to know about on Minister ava.com. But this is coming up on October the 19th. And then Saturday, a virtual town hall meeting, Separation, a Political Agenda, moderated by Brother Kareem Muhammad, but featured panelists, Student Minister Ava Muhammad, this Saturday at 2 p.m., 2 to 4 p.m. So you want to make sure you get that. There's a Zoom link, but you can call 662-577-1258 for more information. 662-577-1258 for more information. And this is sponsored by the local LOC Organizing Committee, Mississippi. M-I, crooked letter, I. So, yes. Mississippi doing a virtual town hall, Separation of Political Agenda, with feature panelist Student Minister Ava Muhammad this Saturday from 2 to 4. I'm not sure if that's central, but that's the number that you can call to make sure you get it. But go to MinisterAva.com.
Yeah, that's central.
That is central. That is central time. That's right. It's
yes,
Mississippi,
sir.
So that is central, 2 to 4 p.m. central. And I think there was some more I could talk about, but we got a lot on the show tonight, and we got a time check. So I'm going to go ahead and conclude what I'm saying. And shout out, we're going to give a more shout out later to my sister Sherelle, Black Power, Black Fist in the air for you. I got my fist literally up in the air for you. But back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, that was great, Brother Terrence. Thank you for that treasure trove of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. So we're going to keep it moving because we do have a packed program tonight. And our historical archivist, Brother Carlos Muhammad, he's on a time frame and gave us a slot of his very full plate. So we want to keep it moving. And we're going to go next to our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava. How are you?
Well,
yes, ma'am.
I'm fine. It's been an incredibly long and busy day, but I can't let you get into your contribution tonight without imploring our listeners to go into our archives on our home webpage, Elevated Places, blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces, because your program, A Time for Justice, this past Tuesday with Brother Attorney Leonard Muhammad, Sister Attorney Yolanda Muhammad, on estate planning, wills, power of attorney. You know, part of the separation process is our return to the practice of taking control of our lives and what belongs to us and directing what is to be done with what we have generated and earned in our lifetimes. And we really have to come out of this slave mindset that says, if I don't have a ton of money in the bank and own a big home, why am I making a will? Why am I making provisions? Because when you think like that, you will have something to leave. You know, the mind controls the matter. And so we've lost millions of acres of land in this country because our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, they were taken advantage of. And so now we've got the education, we are able to read and write, and we've been able to generate something. But even if we're living from check to check, why ignore what we are acquiring and allow the enemy to decide what to do after we're gone? And there was some incredible information from these two attorneys who have expertise in this area, walking us through that. I just wanted to say that, Sister Pamela. I didn't mean to go that long.
Oh, all praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister Ava, for your comments. And Brother Terrence, assalamu alaikum to you as well.
Wa alaikum.
So, yes. And so I wanted to just say, you know, with what you were saying, I'm so inspired by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad being featured in this final call, you know, his birthday being October the 7th. And we really were able to tie in his impact on our show when we talked about planning, because we looked at an article by Brother Michael Muhammad that was entitled The Invincible Truth. And some of the highlights from his article for me was how he talked about how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a blueprint for really helping to solve problems. He was a problem solver. And so when we talked about estate planning and making decisions and planning for our families, you know, so we can have a survival of generational wealth, you know, we had to really just thank Allah for the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad given to us, and especially from our perspective as black attorneys, being able to just have that, you know, blessing to be able to look at things from that perspective. Because we also looked at how in the How White Folks Got So Rich book, they talk about how 43% of inheritance is transferred before a parent or grandparent dies. And so this is something that is done every day. And, you know, people are transferring money. They're paying for tuition. They're choosing what is best to generate generational wealth in their children. So it's very, very important. The other thing we got from the article by Brother Michael Muhammad, The Invincible Truth, you know, when he was writing about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he focused also on some of the lawsuits and the impact the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings made in federal courts. He talked about how between 1961 and 1978, federal courts ruled on no fewer than 66 suits filed by Muslims, and these were prisoners, because he talked about the impact, you know, on the outside as well as on the inside, where our people are, you know, were being held or being held, incarcerated. But this particular case he talked about was Cooper B. Pat, and the author, he brings to light how of all the cases, arguably, the most important is a case called Cooper v. Pat, which was filed by an incarcerated Muslim by the name of Thomas Cooper in Illinois, and culminating in the Supreme Court's 1964 ruling that prisoners did, in fact, have constitutional rights. And he goes on to say that this, the author says that by overturning the 1871 ruling in a case by the name of Ruffin v. Commonwealth, which classified incarcerated individuals as slaves of the state without rights, he said the Cooper decision represented a landmark decision, not only for incarcerated members of the nation, but for prisoners in the United States. And I just thought that was very fascinating. I did a little research to look up this, you know, Cooper's case in 1964, the Supreme Court. Definitely the case had gotten dismissed. The Supreme Court sent it back down and said, no, the case has merit, you know. And so we talked about the right to religious beliefs that were denied to Mr. Cooper, our brother, and religious publications that had been denied by him. And so this case is cited in many publications, and, you know, it's so inspiring because this is the impact of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. And, you know, talking about religious freedoms, thing I think that's so interesting is that, as the gentleman in Brother Michael said in the article, there was a case by the name of Ruffin v. Commonwealth, and that's one of those 1871 cases that, you know, really entrenched slavery into the penal system, because it actually talked about how he's a slave. Ruffin is for the time being the slave of the state. The case talks about how if you're in prison, you don't have any rights, and that your property should be administered like you're a dead man, and that, you know, so these challenges and this landmark decision that is 1964, where one of our brothers, you know, under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was able to get what they call the Bill of Rights accepted into prisoners, you know, into prisons. And, you know, and just in closing, I want to say, well, what is the Bill of Rights? You know, because we know that incarcerated, our people are still denied their rights. But before then, they didn't even have access to freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, you know, the minimal rights, you know, to be human. And so I just think that this case, Cooper v. Pat, which is mentioned in this week's final call, is so important for us to look at. And, you know, all praises are due to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, as well as now we see this impact, as you all were talking about, with our brother Kyrie Irving and the impact with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and just the energy that's in the world standing up to get our human rights. And, you know, I'm thankful to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as well for his work. So I just kind of wanted, that's what I saw. And thank you, Sister Ava, for the time, and continue to bless you and your family as well, as you as well, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, alaikum salam, Sister Pamela. Phenomenal, phenomenal report. As always, really, yeah, you're such a valuable asset to this program and to our nation. And speaking of valuable assets, Brother Terrence, we have one on tonight.
Come on.
Just amazing work. And, you know, one of the things I am missing most about our in-person Savior's Day is visiting the nation's exhibit. Our historical exhibit is Savior's Day, and I'm looking forward to doing that again, and I think we probably will be in the near future. But we're so blessed to have joining us on Elevated Places this evening our beloved NOI historical archivist, none other than student minister Brother Carlos Muhammad, who is also the minister of the legendary Mosque number 6, Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome him. And thank you so much, Brother Carlos, for taking time to stop by and discuss the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who's I think his 124th birth anniversary.
Right.
Thursday at this point. Yes. And so,
assalamu alaikum,
welcome.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. And of course, to my sister, student minister, Dr. Ava, and of course, Brother Terrence, thank you once again for reaching out to your brother, inviting me to be a part of this beautiful platform that we really thank Allah that he has blessed you and the staff in this platform to continue to go for the many years that it has been on. Yes, and I know that this is a source and has become a source of knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and guidance based upon the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his minister in these most critical times. So I'm always happy to be with you. I just wanted to say, I didn't mean to put the time restraint on, but yesterday, and I had some other things that I had to get to and have to get to, but I pray to Allah that this moment that we have, we can share some of the beautiful history of our 91 years of the Nation of Islam here in the wilderness of North America. So I'm happy to be back with my family again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what you are welcome to start wherever you desire so we can make the best use of your time and share with us what you desire us to know. And, you know, realizing we have callers as young as 13 and listeners who participate in the call, and someone 13 years old wasn't even born at the time of the Million Man March, much less around during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad being present among us, the rebuilding of the nation. And so all of this would be gems, not only for us, but for our young people coming up.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I would like to start, of course, you know, just to think what you just said. You know, I just remember being 22 years old in 1995, not even a full year yet on the post as student minister here at Mosque Number 6, coming behind my beautiful brother and mentor, student minister Jamil Muhammad, and mighty believers at that time. So the timing of me entering into labor was so critical but beautiful, because it did put me in a position where I had to do some things. And I reflect on this, and we'll jump into some of this beautiful history with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farg Muhammad. I want to share some of the intimate relationships that, based upon that, we're here talking right now. But I reflect back 26 years ago, being a young 22-year-old believer and helper to the minister at the most critical time of what the minister called for in 1994, but we were now grinding towards the fruition of it. Yes, the spirit was growing. Yes, the spirit we know was the ultimate victory in terms of what God blessed us with, that spirit, but it wasn't without opposition. But I want to share a moment with your audience to show you the beauty of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because I know many listen to us and how we revere him and we uplift him, as he should be. But he is the most beautiful human being among us. He didn't just get that way. He's been that. And we all should have a testimony of his humanity. And so I remember the momentum building. And he came through Baltimore. He was in Washington, D.C., and we were trying to set up these local organizing committees. And he was in Washington working over there, and he asked, was there any Christian pastor that we could attach ourselves to that would help join with the mosque to be the catalyst for Baltimore? And we worked some things out, and you know, some of these ones that claimed to be friends didn't seem to be too friendly at that point. But thanks be to Allah, Dr. Benjamin Chavis Muhammad at that time, he knew a pastor here that I had yet to meet, and he actually was stationed here in Baltimore. So anyway, the minister came over, and I was in that office with Pastor and Dr. John Wright. May Allah forever be pleased with him. I was blessed to meet him. And in that meeting, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gently described what he wanted. And he was looking at me, and I'm not saying this to make myself anything, but he's looking at me, and I know I looked at maybe about 13 or 14 years old at the time, though I was 22. And he's looking at his little minister, and the minister brokered, if you will, the union of a 22-year-old pastor with a very, minister with a very seasoned civil rights pastor. Wow. And I look back on that and look at the humanity that the minister does this, and he says, this is my minister here. He represents me. So when he speaks, you have to see it that I'm speaking. Now, I know the pastor looking at me and he's saying the same thing, this little boy right here, you know. So I'm saying that to say that the beauty in how the minister sees forward, but in the moment he's doing something that we can't fully see. And by Allah's grace, when me and Dr. Wright got together, we can say that successfully over 300,000 men came from the Baltimore metropolitan area, and I'll never forget him. And him and the minister became very great friends, and I just reflect on that 26 years ago. So with that, that is a part of our 91-year history, along with everything that happened after
that.
October 16th, 1995, and before. But I'm reflecting on Savior's Day 1972, which that video is up on YouTube. If you go and pull it up, there's a portion where the camera is fixated on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the minister is behind him in the shot. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is happy because he says, by the looks of you, you've come out by the thousands today. He says, but one day soon we'll be teaching to a million. And almost without hesitation, the minister says, and we will do it, dear Holy Apostle. We will do it. So when the detractors say that the rightful heir to the seat of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not the minister, I beg to differ, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was always pointing us and letting us know the value of his minister. So the minister was already in the mode that whatever his teacher desired, he was going to try to give it to him and get us to that point. Now, that's 72. But look at what the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to him between 72 and 74. Says, oh, brother, through you, Brother Farrakhan, I'll get all my people. All my people through you, through you. So when we look at 1974, May 27, I turned one, and the minister had 70,000 on Randall's Island in New York for Black Family Day.
Come on.
On behalf of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. No one in, no other minister was able to do that. They came back in September 15th of the same year, 35,000 again for Black Family Day Part 2. And so I'm saying all of these things because they're important to show you the relationship between the third man that is backed by the first and the second man that are backing him. I'm talking about God in person and his Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, are backing the third man. Now, I close this point with that. The third man is growing in ministry from 1957 throughout his tenure as national representative while the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was among us and before he departed. And in 1969, I have a letter that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wrote to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I was shown this letter years before I was blessed to get it again to show to the minister. But what the minister said in the letter, Dr. Ava, as you know, sometimes things get impressed on you that you don't have to fight to remember them. It's just, it becomes a part of you. And the minister was writing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, letting him know that they were having a rally in New York to address the drug epidemic that was going on in Harlem. And at the end of the letter, he says, dear Holy Apostle, we're expecting a very large crowd. If it be the will of Allah, can I come out and see you this Friday? This is before the event. So that you may guide me on how to convert 10,000 of our people to you at once. I'm going to say that again. The Honorable Minister is asking the messenger, could he come out there before this event takes place so that the messenger could guide him on how to convert 10,000 unto him at once. Why is that important? Because in the modern time, now in the rebuilding effort, he's done all of those things. He's converted more than 10,000. He has spoken to the million plus. And it is happening that through this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is getting all of his people. So I just, this wasn't prepared, but based upon how you started, I wanted to give a historical run to show us where we are. So, but when we look at that relationship between the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan, you know what? It's the same way between Master Farrakhan Muhammad, Allah in person, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in their early relationship where the Savior was teaching him day and night for 3 1/2 years. And so if you don't mind, I would love to share a few of the letters, points of the letters written by Master Farrakhan Muhammad to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad during this 3 1/2 year time period. These are different letters, but they serve something, not just because it was them two, but it was what we could get and what we gained from that relationship that is very important to our conversation tonight. Now, the context of this is that we know that we just celebrated the 90th anniversary of their first meeting on September the 22nd, 1931 in Detroit. And not too long after that, in 1932, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad became one of Master Farrakhan Muhammad's ministers. But their relationship was different than what he had with his other ministers. And we can see that in this letter from September 7th, 1933, very early in the development of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it says here, Mr. Elijah Muhammad, the Minister of Islam, Detroit, Michigan. Now, I'm going to read the last part of this letter because the Savior is gently guiding him along, showing the importance of us and what his labor is going to have to be for us. Listen to what he says. He says, read your Quran. Outline your subject and be well posted before giving life to the dead nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. Accept no bribe, friendship, or apples of no kind. Your happiness is awaiting you on completion of your labor. Now look at this. I have hard labor to go through with misunderstanding on part of my peoples in this part of the planet. However, look at the love. I have treasured all my life love for the lost foundation of Islam, and the time will prove all things. Righteousness and righteousness must be revealed and come to an understanding of all mankind. Now look at the relationship. Now, brother, I can see you when you read this letter. Don't cry, but think of the future and steady your nerve. Study your lessons and the wonder you are doing, which is measured, and make them all, talking about our people, make them all. Now, he would, just for the listener, whenever Master Farrakhan Muhammad wrote these letters, whenever he wanted to make emphasis on something, he departed from script writing and made block letters, big block. It would be the equivalent of us choosing bold today. And so this is in bold. Make them all the wealth in the world from your brother, W.D. Farrakhan. Now, look at the video. I shared on another broadcast that I was blessed to give the minister these letters, and he read this in front of me. Now, I'm reading a transcript, a careful transcript, because, as you know, when you're trying to read somebody's handwriting, you got to really strain sometimes. But I can tell you the minister read the actual letter and how he hammered. I'm reading on the transcript to make sure if he got stuck, he didn't get stuck. He read the smallest script that was on the paper and hammered it. But the part about, but think of the future and steady your nerve, the minister said, they are talking to me right now. They're talking, he's talking about, he said, what he was getting is that the Savior and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is telling me that right now. Steady your nerve. Steady your nerve. And so that's that one. Now, we go a little further. Now, this is a month later. This is almost 30 days later. This is 10-10-1933. 3 a.m. in the morning. Look at what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Master Fahd Muhammad writes to his student, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He says, study your history, but do not study too hard, for your labor will not be 100%. He says, you must have rest and time for other walk of life, which is also necessary too. I want to see you soon. And he says, I have a lot to discuss with you on a number of subjects. You can take notes every day of them, of this, and you can ask, and then you can ask questions, or you can take notes and write down the questions you're going to ask me when you see me. He says, I mean for you to write all down so that you will not forget it when you see me. Look at the relationship building now that he's trying to show him. I see you. All you want to do is be with me and teach and spread Islam, but you got to have rest, right? And you have to have time for other walk of life. And maybe he meant that you have to have some balance with your family. And how can we process this, that are followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the minister? Because isn't that how we were when we got excited with the mission? We didn't want to do nothing else. And all we want to do is teach, stay up, study, push, push, push. And we realized that we needed some balance. So that's in 1933. And lastly, I want to show you how things shift now, because we're talking about a growing relationship. Now, he's his chief minister at this time in 1934, and he writes him, he says, dear brother, this is from April of 1934, April 2nd. He says, I received your letter today, and I was made happy to know that you are going after your labor 100%. You may make a lecture on like this subject, arise and delivered as soon as he or she receive their own. Look in the poison book, talking about the Bible, and find it. Write often and ask questions. Tell all about your labor, anything that you do not understand from your brother, W.D. Fahd. Now he's giving him subject. He's showing him where to go and do things. But this is the one right here, 1934. Now look at how the relationship, and I've used this language, the Savior is now starting to wean him off of total dependence of him by doing it gently like this. He says, now, brother, you can use good judgment about the lecture I wrote. Can you imagine the Savior writing you a lecture? Woo. So let me start off. I'm sorry, it just hit me that way. He says, now, brother, you can use good judgment about this lecture I wrote. If you think that our people will not understand this, or they may get mad over this, then do not use this lecture. Make one up yourself that you think will work better. Isn't that something?
What?
So now he's kind of,
yeah,
he's kind of, okay, pushing, right, I'm pushing you out there now because the time is coming. I'm getting ready to get out of here.
Come on.
So I just, and now that I think about it, as we're reading these letters, the minister is all in this. How? Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put the minister on his radio broadcast and was guiding him with subject matter.
Right.
And then at a certain point, he allowed the minister now to come with his subject. And then maybe now and again he said, oh, brother, I'd like to hear you teach these subjects. And we heard that the minister said that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the early 70s would draw strength an inspiration off his radio broadcast, because at that time he was wrangling with the business of the nation. So when you think of how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gently guided the minister along, okay, brother, I'm going to put you on the radio now. I'll be back. You see? And then he told him he was coming back, and the minister was getting it prepared. And he said, oh, brother, you can go on now for another 6 weeks. So this relationship of the Savior to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gets done again with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister, through the minister's growth and evolution as the chief helper of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Mm. So in Islamic language, Master Far Muhammad made the Honorable Elijah Muhammad his khalifa. And whether the world likes it or not, but it's too late for those that like to run your mouth just because you can. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made Minister Farrakhan his khalifa, his vice general. That sits in his place over the people. Because if God and the Christ were not alive to help the minister revive the nation, then the minister would have just gained some followers through preaching, and nothing would have happened in terms of the consciousness and the rise of the mass of black people. The minister right. would have just had a large congregation. But because God in person and the Christ have been backing our beloved for over 44 years in this rebuilding process, he has touched every nook and cranny of North America and the world over with the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the resurrection of our people, in the word for the resurrection of the whole of humanity. I say to our enemy, you don't have us, we got you. Because what Allah has been blessing us with in terms of tangible documentation, you will never railroad us away from Master Fahd Muhammad and the truth of who he is, because we got the clear evidence of his presence among us, his raising and teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, with that knowledge, with that wisdom, and with the best book, the Quran, raised a dead black nation to life. And it fell to show the beauty of God that it can come back again through the mouthpiece and chief helper to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the star minister that has no equal, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Y'all got me fired up. You know, I haven't been able to preach in a long time, sister. So all praise is due to Allah. I hope that helped us tonight.
Hope.
Oh, my goodness. I'm speechless. I am speechless.
All praise is due to Allah.
This fills you with life. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share this tonight. All praise is due to Allah.
And Dr. Ava, when he said how old he was when he was at the Million Man March, I was like, hold up. I keep forgetting he is my senior by far in these teachings and in this mission and in this work. But I was like, hold up. I was counting on my fingers. I said, who's biologically older? But his wisdom, and I guarantee him for over 20, 25 years, this brother, and I'm glad you said one of our jewels. And sometimes we look over our jewels, because this brother has been teaching me ever since I've been in the nation. And what he always gave me, he has always given. Brother, come here. Here's a tape that you need. This is a tape from such and such, and always would give me the history of the nation. But I did want to go back to something that he said that's very, very clear. He said 1972 when he said, you know, and you'll teach the millions. He said, yes, sir. And just, I that just blew my mind when he said 1972 and we're looking at the 26th anniversary, because I didn't even think about that. You know, when I watched 72 many a time, got the VHS, got the YouTube, But I ain't think about mm-hmm. that. But then we talk about Randall's Island. We remember he had to come on in a helicopter, couldn't even get to the 70,000.
Right. That's right.
But I forgot about part two, Randall's Island, or Black Family Day, 35,000, and then bringing up to the Million Man March, 35,000 in Texas when the minister was going on tour building Million Man March. And I'm like, just the numbers and how he just laid it out is just like ridiculously crazy. It's like, how you not going to be in this? I just don't know where else you're going to go. I mean, it's too much. It's too many numbers, too much that lines up, because it's like, I love saying y'all my squad. When you got all of this to lay out to all, because y'all don't understand, Brother Carlos will put this in Arabic for you if you don't understand it in English, and go to the Islamic world. And go to the Islam. We got the imam, we got Brother Carl, and shut you down on the Islamic way, and then we'll go into the church and put it in the Bible way. There's no way that you can come in this nation, and you ain't gonna even come through, Sister Ava. That's just matter where I go ahead and sit down. Just don't even try that. And I'm just saying it like that because this is not just rambling. This is scholarship. This is an actual fact. This is actual documentation. So bear witness to actual life events that has occurred and that are occurring today.
All praise be to Allah. Well, let me say this to my brother. You know, we've been doing this such a time now. You know, we've grown into the years of maturity since we're taught that a man should reach maturity at the age of 40 as a milestone. And I can just remember us in the teenage years, coming through our 20s, coming through our 30s and into the 40s, getting ready to touch 50 and maybe already there. I thought of Sister Ava just watching the tapes when I first joined of the Final Call days and seeing you and Minister Rodney and all of those that were coming along at that point, even though, you know, you started earlier with Minister Kareem. But to think that 44 years later, we're all here. Those that are still here, you were here, but I get on the train at a certain point. Terrence gets on the train at a certain point, and we all get on, and we're traveling with this beautiful man. And I know that at certain points in your development, Sister Ava, you've said to yourself, like, wait a minute. How did these years go by so quick? And now we're pushing 30 years with him, right? And to be at the 30th year with him, right? So when you think of when we got on in 89, 90, the early 90s, but stayed with him and stayed consistent as we're in search of knowledge. 30 years have gone by, and guess what? I have to always remind us of this. Allah knows what he's doing with our beloved. And I know that we want to see him, and where is the minister? And some of it is natural concern. How's our beloved doing? But see, Allah has the guide and the guidance sitting now only to speak when he commands him. And what we should know is that when we're in an hour like this, then we better lean our mind on everything that he's given us over the time, because he reminded us just a year ago in September 17th, last year, he said, you have all my words. But the thing is, sometimes you just don't like my way. So we got to take his words of guidance, marry them with the way of life given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and then we can be sure of success when Allah and the Christ call him up to themselves. But don't you think that the minister is somewhere in the corner fading away? Oh, no. God is using him as a tool in this dispensation of time very differently from the mode that we may used to see him in. But guess what? We got all the words. We have the study. We have all of what we need, but we now got to internalize it and live this life and become active. Can I say this and let it go, Dr. Ava?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know you are working very hard on this separation project. It is so necessary. So I'm saying to all of the believers, do you know what our main function is to the messenger of God? The main function is to bring him converts.
Yes.
After that, it is to build a tangible community that reflects him. So the prophet, peace be upon him, was the only prophet that ever brought the spiritual message and then married it to a tangible result by building a community and a functioning nation. So thus the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in this modern time through his minister, they have been commissioned and have laid the foundation to what that is to look like. So in every city, if we're not building a modern Medina, a self-sustaining Muslim community as a light and example to the people that we're commissioned to go after and save, then we're just preaching.
Yes.
And preaching alone is not going to save anyone. So I thank you, sister. I remember many years ago when you began to say that it has to be more than just an establishment of a meeting place.
Right.
That we
had
to eventually establish a community. And when I think of what COVID has done to us, it is not the end of all ends at all. However, we have to be careful under the guidance that the minister is telling us. But guess what? It showed us something. What would have been the state of I'll use my mom. I'm not afraid. We're transparent. Beautiful group of believers. But guess what? When things started shutting down, had we already established a self-community, a model community where our business infrastructure was, our school system was, our mind and our life is, we could shut the gate and protect our community from COVID, and
That's
we
right.
could manage what comes in and out of that community, and our school
That's
wouldn't
right.
have had to shut down because
That's
we would
right.
have quarantined right in the gate of our community, and you would have had a good reason to get
and
out
going
the gate.
With life.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
sir.
That vision is
thank
not
you,
lost,
sir.
And we are steadfast. But thank you, sister, so much for giving me this time. Thank you, Brother Terrence. Love you
no,
all.
Assalamu alaikum. Behalf of all the listeners now, and my phone is blowing up with text messages about what you just said. And I gotta have my daughter come on because she's in the middle of a protest and she's got to go back outside. But
there are
no words, Brother Carlos. Allah really sent you to us tonight as an angel to give what you
Man,
gave
all
us
praise is due to Allah.
This evening
all praise is due to Allah.
Without a doubt. I'm
all
blown.
Praise is due
I'm
to
blown
Allah.
Away. Thank you, Master Fard.
Thank you.
Muhammad, for this
I mean,
brother. Yes, sir.
Praise is due to
Thank
Allah.
You, beloved.
Thank you. Thank you. May Allah
so
bless you, and I'll
back.
Continue to listen
yes,
as I move on, and inshallah, we'll do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved.
Assalamu alaikum.
Right.
Thank you.
Alaikum salam. Wow. Wow.
Exactly.
Listen, well, I've got to go. We're going to reflect on this throughout the rest of the program, but right now I have joining us on the line from Howard University, my daughter, Sherelle Muhammad, but she's not calling in as my daughter. She's calling in as one of the leaders of a student protest
on the front
one
line.
Of our legendary, huh?
She on the front line.
She's on the front line. That's exactly right. Freedom, justice, and equality. And those principles apply in all human relationships. And so Sherelle, if you could be so kind, first of all, assalamu alaikum, and thank you for taking time. And thank you, beloved, because I know you're in the midst of everything. But if you could just enlighten the listeners as to what's taking place there on the campus now, and just share with us what you can.
Yes, ma'am. So originally, October 1st, we went in front of the administration building, and we just was basically demanding basic rights. We wasn't telling them, oh, pay off our tuition. We were just asking for basic rights. And they didn't want to hear us. Dr. Averis, she is the president of the vice president of student affairs. She came. She tried to hear us out, and she kept telling us basically, like, email us. And as you're familiar, Dr. Ava, the Howard runaround, you email one person, you're not going to get in contact with them until you go to the next building. So at a point in time, the students just eventually give up. So instead of them giving up, we chose to stand up and fight for them. So we asked Dr. Averis a couple questions, and when she told us basically like to email them, one student, it was a male student, he yelled out, "You all don't email back." So when he yelled that out, she basically was like, "Oh, well, I don't want to talk to you all anymore." This is the administration at Howard University. She says, "Oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore." She goes back into the administration building. They lock the doors with chains and everything as if we're trying to break into the building or something. So we called for a town hall meeting to my organization, Juvenile Justice Advocates, YDSA, which is basically like an Afro socialist group, and then also the live movements, which basically is like a movement they believe in. You protest and you live for who died for you, like Harriet Tubman, and you know, so on, so on. So basically, we held a town hall meeting. We asked for the administration to be present, and also the vice president and the president of the HUSA, the HU Senate, came out to the press conference, and none of the administration showed. Zero administration showed up. It was just all student body. So they sent out an email saying everybody was out of town, which that was hard to believe. Nobody, that a single person was out of town. So what we chose to do was we were going to take over Blackburn, because we knew in 2018 they had also a similar protest, and Howard lied to them and said, yeah, we would do everything right. So they did everything right for about a week or two, and then basically went back to the old Howard. So basically, we took over Blackburn because we know that everybody has to come to Blackburn, which is the main place where you eat. So instead of just trying to meet our needs, they shut Blackburn down, and they sent all the university police up here. They put the fire alarm on us the first night to try to use the scare tactics to get us out as if we were high schoolers, and that didn't work. We still stayed in. They shot another scare tactic. We woke up in the morning. The vice president of student affairs came to us once again, and she told us, she was like, if you all don't leave by 12 p.m., you're going to get expelled. So we put out a bison call, and next thing you know, hundreds of students came on the yard. We're getting supports from everybody. The Black Panthers came up here. Some people from the Harriet Tubman movement came up here. Professors came up here. We had white people coming up here. We had so much support coming in, people giving us food, people giving us toiletries, people giving us air mattresses. There's at least like 30 air mattresses in here. So basically we just been in here, and the three rights that we're trying to get, that we're demanding, is basic rights. So the first right is to give us immunity, to give us academic and legal immunity. So basically nobody gets expelled, nobody goes to jail, none of that. I'll get to that demand in a minute, because that demand was actually met today. The second demand is to reinstate all the Board of Trustees. So if you all don't know, the Board of Trustees was basically, they removed all the student body, they removed all the alumni, which basically means that Board of Trustees is the people who make the final shots and decisions. Now the Board of Trustees used to be contain a lot of Black people, but now it's all white people, like, you know, the people that donate big scholarships and stuff to us. So, like, the big donations are the people who's on the Board of Trustees. So you have a lot of racist white people. A dude told us earlier when he was here in, I think that was 1996 or something, they tried to put somebody on the Board of Trustees that was almost as similar as Donald Trump. So that was our second demand, is to put the student body, reinstate all the student body alumni on the Board of Trustees so our voice can be heard and we will have some say-so. Demand number three is to have the president of the chairman to have a meeting with us, to have a student leadership meeting with us about the housing plan. And I'm sorry, it's loud. We're just a lot of people. Housing plan and basically like all the basic needs to be met. And we told him he has to meet with us before October 31st. So after she called, basically she told us we were going to get expelled. What we did was we put a bison call out. So they all locked arms in front of the building so the police, nobody could come into the building and get to us. So it was hundreds of people locking arms. So they basically just gave up. And President Frederick sent us an email earlier saying that he would like to have a meeting with us at 1 p.m. So we went over and met with him. And he basically was trying to be understanding, tell us he understands everything that's going on. He did not say that he totally skipped over the part of reinstating the Board of Trustees, the alumni and the students. You need something. Thank you so much. Thank you. He did say that he would give us academic and legal immunity, so we would be exempt from midterms. But all the other professors, they're basically standing in solidarity with us, so we were exempt from it anyway. So that really wasn't a big deal. And the meeting, he said he wouldn't meet with the full student body, but he said he agreed to meet with the student leaders like us and the presidents and all us biweekly. So right now we're still fighting on the front line, trying to get these rights implemented. There's about 50 of us inside. We're about to have like a family dinner. They donated like jerk food to us. And then there's about probably like 50 on the outside. And there's also people sleeping on the ground. We got a lot of sleeping bags and stuff. 250? Yeah, 250. 250. Yeah. So that's basically what's going on now. We're here until they try to hear us out. In 2018, it took them approximately 9 days to get their voice heard.
And so, Sherelle, there was one other, if you could quickly tell us, there's another issue, and that is, and I've seen a lot of references to it on Twitter from the students and Instagram, and many of the entities that have issued statements of support, and of course you've been invited by the Final Call newspaper to do an article. And, of course, the Nation of Islam is standing behind you. But the housing crisis, this school is quite expensive as far as tuition. But if you could quickly just give the listeners what that issue is about. That's one of the things that drove the breakdown in communications.
Yes, ma'am. So. No, I'm not listening to the headphones. So basically Howard likes to play a game called the Howard Runaround. So as you witnessed, when I first came to Howard, they emailed me literally a week before school started and said I got accepted. So I literally had a week to get into housing, get my, immunization and all that, forms turned in and everything. So I literally, the day school started, I did not have a place to stay. They wait until after school starts to tell you, oh, okay, we have room, because they accept too many freshmen. So if most of the freshmen that they accept don't come, then they say, oh, we have space. So like for example, me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, overbooked planes. So for example, me, they told me I couldn't get housing because the priority was for athletes and freshmen and all that. A week later, they come and tell me, oh, we have 15, 20 spaces left. You can come on campus. After we already signed a lease, a legal bonding contract. And Howard does, they're known for doing this a week before, a month before. So that's one of the crises. There's students homeless and people sleeping in their cars, going to Bird Gymnasium early, taking showers to try to play it off like they're not homeless. The second crisis is we've been gone a whole year for COVID. They come back to their dorms, there's mildew, there's all type of stuff, there's leakage, there's all type of stuff wrong with their dorms. There's people that's been hospitalized. For example, my old roommate, she's been hospitalized. There's a young man that called us earlier to tell us how he just got out the hospital for strep throat. He thought he had COVID. He couldn't speak for like a week. There's people that said they're coughing up blood. and administration had the nerve to tell us that we were lying. So we came up with, we made a whole board of complaints from the students, and we showed it to him. They basically looked at it and didn't pay too much attention to it, but that's basically that's it on the house. They just like to play a lot of games.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Sherelle, we just want you to know that we're very inspired, all of us, by the courage of the students. And as I told you and others, this is all part of the unraveling of a great nation. And when we, as a people, and Brother Terrence is a graduate of an HBCU, and so am I, and he can tell you, as I can, what you're supposed to be getting at an HBCU is a parental family atmosphere. And with the intrusion of outsiders and greed and placing money above training you all, you were called there to learn to be leaders, to be advocates, to be freedom fighters. And yes, so you're actually exercising that inside the community of the campus itself, because you have to demand freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity. Anybody that tries to take it from you, you have to fight for what is due you. And we appreciate your peaceful protests. And I want to say to the listeners, too, these students – these are honor students. These are students on the dean's list. These are organizational leaders. They've been taking their midterms while they're engaged in this. And so the saga of black people in America continues, you know, and we just say stand strong, because you're helping to bring in a new reality. And we just want to thank you all for taking time. And give everybody our love and greetings there.
Okay, and we also
from
have
elevated place.
I'm not going to expose his name because we're going to remain anonymous. But this is Officer So and So. He can just give a few words.
Oh yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And yourself?
Doing good. We're just here to thank God that we're here to support the students and protect them. And daughter's doing a great job, and I met her here along with the rest of the students, and it's truly something to behold, you know, their fight and trying to share with them that all of us are not you know, here to hurt them, but we're here really to protect them and what their cause and their fight is for. So we just thank God, you did a beautiful job with her.
Thank you.
And I just met her, and we just kind of connected the last couple of days. But they are doing a great job. All right, take care.
We appreciate you. We thank you, Brother Officer. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah.
We're in a very special time. Very special time. But thank you, Sister Sherelle, and you all stay strong, but get your rest, too.
Yes, ma'am. And if anybody wanted to support us, we are accepting food consistently. We are accepting, like, air mattresses, pillows, you know, things of that sort. So if you all wanted a water,
yes,
too. So if you all wanted to support us, I guess my mom, she could tell you a Cash App, and then we can make sure that it gets to the movement. Or you all, if anybody's in D.C. or you know anybody in D.C., you all can just come up to Blackburn at Howard and drop it off at the door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would be.
Thank you.
I would definitely be getting in touch with Sherelle, because I definitely know a squad of people in D.C., and I will be putting that word out. So once I get all the details, I'm definitely blasting out.
Oh, you
know.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, you know he's real. He's the real deal.
Yeah, you know, we based in D.C.,
yes,
so I'm getting ready to call the troops. So Howard alums and everybody else that's out there, and some of our national organizations. So, yeah, once I get the information, you have some stuff getting dropped off soon.
Okay, yes, sir. And be sure to get my number from my mom, okay?
Gotcha. Yep.
After the show. Okay. Thank you so much. And I appreciate your support.
No problem.
We appreciate you.
Assalamualaikum, you all. Love you all.
Waalaikum salam.
Man, Sister Ava, I just gotta say one thing. I remember taking over the administrative building back in 92 at my university, and I remember helping other students at Chapel Hill, across the country, at Winston-Salem. I mean, a bunch of schools I remember across the country helping them shut down.
Lord.
I've never heard that their number one list of demands is legal and academic immunity. I've never seen that. Now, I'm not saying it had to happen, but all of my years, I've never seen that as number one of my list of demands. As I'm looking at it, and that's very, very key, because usually students suffer academic probations, suffer legal ramifications, legal stuff, and so I've never heard anybody put that as the number one list. And the beauty of what she said, that she wasn't worried about it because the professors were backing, and not just a professor, usually as a professor or two.
Come on.
Professors were backing them. And then people are coming on campus, white and black, are coming on campus to stand strong. So the reality is, and the one thing she did say, be very clear, it's not an HU problem, it's an HBCU problem about the runaround. Go call this person. Go call that person. That's part of the HBU experience. Now, we love our HBCU, but we know about financial aid, and we know about that runaround. So that's a traditional HBCU dude, the runaround and financial aid department. But it's very powerful. Yeah, but that was very powerful, because not only did she say that that was number one in demand, but she also said that the administration has agreed to meet with the student leaders. Now, the best thing about that is that they didn't meet with just that little core, but all of the student leaders, because what happens is they will take and pick which student leaders they want to work with. But the fact that they are going with everybody can have that voice. This is a powerful thing. There's a lot of more jewels in there I can talk about later, but she's doing a very powerful thing. Plus, it's in D.C., and it's in Howard. There's a lot around homecoming time.
Yeah, this is profound. People know the whole HBCU sphere and the hierarchy and the history of a Howard University. And I think what you said earlier about what's happening on these campuses is like a microcosm of what's going on, period. And, you know, I was telling her that earlier that revolutions historically, especially in this 6,000-year cycle and in these modern times, you can't find a revolution that wasn't led by the intellectual class and the college students. That's who leads the revolutions, because the downtrodden people, the poor people, they can't launch a revolution because they're trying to survive. You know, they're trying to survive.
That's real.
But, you know, it's the so-called intellectual and educated class who has been taught in the house of the tyrant, you know, and understands how to maneuver through their society. That's who has to join forces with the masses of the people. And that's what's happening now. And what Brother Student Minister Carlos brought to show us the nothing spooky. Look at the evolving relationship from Master Fard Muhammad to his young student. I mean, that was just blowing my mind. The excerpts from the letters.
That's right.
That he wrote. And when he said, don't cry, think of the future and steady your nerve. Oh, my God. And I have something to say before we go off the air, but I wanted to get us a couple of
That's
calls
right.
in first, because I know the callers are probably fired up from all that's been happening on this program.
Man, please. I know those callers itching.
And you know we're going to be in trouble if we don't, because she knows she's in first place. So
right, she already knows. Right. From
you can't tell
one,
her, oh, you
one,
were way down
one.
In. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ula.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yes, we can.
All praise to Allah. Sister Ava, two or three questions, because I was mad as a bear. I didn't think I was going to get in. Wow. But anyway, what I was going to ask you, did you see Biden fall down the flight of steps off of Air Force One?
Again,
did you see that?
Recently?
He ran the other day.
I've seen him fall up the stairs.
No, ma'am.
When
he
did this
fell
happen?
Down a complete, this was over the weekend. He was on Air Force One coming off the first step, and he fell all the way down. You didn't see that?
Wow.
And guess what he did? Well, yes, ma'am. Guess what he did when he fell? He got up and pretended like he wasn't hurt. That man know he was in pain because he's weak boned and weak grafted. You know he
That's
was in
right.
pain. You know, I know. If I fell off my bicycle one time and I didn't fall that far, and I was in pain for a few days, you know, I mean, to the natural thing, I was okay in a few days. But I know that devil was in a lot of pain. But I was going to say this. Page 10 and 11 in the Final Call newspaper are really hitting on this pandemic and these people taking the vaccine and they dying left and right. And what they're
yes.
doing, I believe, they said in emergency wards, Sister Ava, the emergency wards are capacity with people. It's all of America. And so that's all I'm not going to hold. I know other callers want to get in, but I did want to share that information. Everybody needs to at least read page 10 and 11 of the Final Call newspaper because it touches on so many aspects of this pandemic. Thank you so much, Sister April, for letting me share. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ula, and thank you so much for that powerful phone call, and always bringing, I love this program, Brother Terrence, because our callers always bring us the latest in news and information, and it all
That's
comes
right.
together
That's
to
right.
form a really powerful knowledge base you leave with when you listen to Elevated Places. And, of course, second in line, none other than Brother Daryl, and he has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Daryl.
Wa alaikum salam. Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence, and to your daughter, Sherelle. May Allah continue to bless her and the students, and especially our beloved brother officer. Go to Allah is working with our people. They say we're not here to harm them. We're here to watch over and protect them. I love that. That goes to show you the power of Allah is working through our youth. My second question
yeah.
was, a lot of I have family members as well, and those that are strong supporters of the Nation of Islam, and they asked me to ask the question. I try to do what I can by trying to get in touch with Brother Troy, but they say they are not registered, but they have been a strong donate to the nation. What can they do to get a letter? My adopted daughter, Asia, she don't want to take the shot. She work at Chrysler, and they want to know what can they do, even though they're not registered at the time. What can they do? And then help and support the nation. What can I tell them? And also, last Thursday, I think it was excellent when you put the messenger on. Oh, my God. That was right on time.
Oh,
cut
yes,
right into
sir.
Very, very powerful. But I said, oh, my God, it was beautiful, you know, just to hear the messenger. And it sounded like he was just right here. And it touches right in. So I said, well, I'm not going to hold the line up. But that was the question they wanted me to ask. What can they do? About getting that letter, so they won't have to take the vaccine because they threaten them.
Well, I will look into it, and I'll give you send you a text off the air, and
okay.
see because we right now we've only been authorized to do for the registered Muslim, because of some of the nature of the way these forms are. It depends on that jurisdiction and what they're asking the individual for. We need to look at what exactly they're being asked to give them. And so we it's a case-by-case basis, but primarily it is registered because we're acknowledging something, you see. And so we have to have a knowledge of that person. But I understand fully what you're saying. And so I'll make sure we get in touch with you. Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're
all in. Stay safe.
You too. Assalamu alaikum. And before we go to our next caller, let me give you the Cash App if you want to help out with some of the essentials that the students made, the ones who are staying inside the Blackburn Center and spending the nights there. And that's $, and I'll spell this out, all small letters, R-O-M-O-N-A-E-L. R-O-M-O-N-A-E-L. And thank you all so much for thinking of the students. Let me get Brother Hoyle, get his comment in, and then there's something I want to share with you all. And if we have more time,
take more time. I smell like a beautiful show. I came in on the tail end here. I'm just coming in from Buffalo, New York, working. I'm hearing this beautiful show, and thank Brother Carlos and his wonderful work. And get this latest final call. I was just make sure you read Dr. Ridgely's article too, which is powerful.
Oh yes, Lord,
And just a beautiful show. I'm not going to say too much today. Just thank you for a beautiful show, Dr. Avon, and everybody's doing a wonderful job. And you know, we just have to watch ourselves in this crazy time. We've had shootings here in Memphis at the post office.
I've been seeing that.
Yes, ma'am. And I was telling, we were talking to FOI. I was talking in, I don't know, but I've been noticing traveling of all this, you know, our people driving real crazy. So just if you're out driving, I don't know if this is a new fad, but people cutting in front of each other, racing, and all this crazy stuff on the highways and residential streets, right? And it was
bad,
a little girl
killed
here. And I don't know, like I said, it's the stress and the times and whatnot, but just be careful, family, when you're out there driving, because it's, you know, I don't know, the mental state of our people right now. And, you know, with different, with all the stuff that's going on. So our people are waking up, you know, these mandates. And our brother Kyrie Irving, and it's just, we're on the winning team. It's just, I just pray Allah that maybe we might have some mercy on some of those who might have taken it. You know, maybe something we might have that's only Allah knows, you know. So, but right now, all we got is righteousness and prayer. Even us who haven't, that's our key right there, is just being righteous and pray, because it can happen to any one of us, you know, so just take care of ourselves, follow the How to Eat to Live protocol, and that's our red. But I'm going to let somebody else talk. Beautiful show, and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words, Brother Hoyle. Brothers and sisters, let me, Brother Hoyle is a perfect segue, because he directed our attention to page 8 of the current Final Form newspaper with Dr. Ridgely. And all over the world, people are gathering together in unity on the basis of truth. And Brother Ridgely is breaking down. This is part one of a series where he's going to break down for us how it came to be that hospitals, which were once run by doctors, are now run by financial people and administrators who have no knowledge of health and medicine whatsoever and what that is about. And it just furthers the need for us to separate. And also, you'll never hear it on the Today Show, but you saw it in the final call in his article that thousands of doctors gathered last month in Puerto Rico, and they made a commitment that they're going to deliver care to patients, because when COVID first struck, doctors across the country were receiving memorandum and orders not to treat COVID patients at all, but to send them home and only admit them when they couldn't breathe. And when they couldn't breathe, they were brought in and put on ventilators where they died. But you need to read that entire article. I want everybody within the sound of my voice to make sure you read very carefully and then read again the article on page 9 entitled, "We Are Done with Fear." Florida's Black Surgeon General pushes back on vaccine mandates. That article, written by Sister Charlene Muhammad, national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper, it contains insight for you and I regarding the time we're in and being able to stay in alignment with our teacher, the man that we've been instructed to follow, because following that man is what is going to save our lives. And he is the publisher of this newspaper. And in this article, this Black Nigerian-born, U.S.-reared Dr. Joseph Latipo breaks down and gives an analysis of the way this pandemic has been handled by the U.S. government. Now, we know that we reject the vaccine mandate entirely. We also know that we will never get vaccinated, never. So the question becomes, what is our plan? We are at the point where we have to choose between two ways. Minister Farrakhan has said there is Satan's way and there is our way. And it is time for us to live in accord with our way. Now, there has been attribution to him regarding some of the mitigation guidelines issued by local and state and federal elected officials. There have never been any laws passed regarding vaccines, regarding masking, regarding lockdowns. Never. There have only been executive orders and local ordinances signed off on by politicians, elected officials. An executive order or a mandate is not a law. Only the legislature makes law. Joseph Biden is not a lawmaker. He's the chief executive officer of this country. The executive branch executes, it implements the laws that the lawmaking body follows. And so nothing has been issued in this country that can be legally enforced. The only means of the enforcement of the vaccine has been through the threats, the cajoling, the force, and the illegal taking of people's jobs, putting them out of schools, and you all know the list goes on. But I want to get to this point on the mask policy. 1 year and I think 8 months now into this pandemic, we have to review all that is being done. And this is why I'm imploring you to start giving yourself some basis for you to engage in analysis. But I had asked the minister earlier this week about the context within which he said, wear your mask. Because some of us are attributing to him our perception of what he said in the garden as to mask. And we are not correctly stating, and we need to go back and study the criterion, because we're assigning something to the instruction that was never there. And that is that it is divine in its root. He said the only divine guidance that he received on this issue is the vaccine. He said the context of what I said during the criterion was for compliance. As you all know, we obey those in authority whether we agree or not, unless it conflicts with our religion. So we are now undergoing a review of all of the mandates. We've already completely rejected one, and that is, and that's on divine order. That is from Allah God through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's not up for discussion, and that is do not take the vaccine. And the minister said recently to a group of us, he said, if you even thought about getting vaccinated, if you even thought about it, Satan had you. And if you decided ultimately you weren't going to do it, then all praise is due to Allah. You were able to get away from Satan, but he got away with a couple of ribs. We're in a time, beloved, and this is me talking now, when we're being given the highest level of supreme wisdom from a man that's right in our midst. And I realized listening to that warning from him that I'm nowhere near understanding what it is to be in complete submission to Allah and to completely free myself of the Satan of self or the whispering of the slinking devil. Because the outside Satan in the flesh can't do anything unless he can connect with the Satan of self. And that mindset is a mindset that is in opposition to the will of Allah God. We are at the end of responding for very wise and strategic reasons, but we're at the end of responding to and reacting to how Satan is handling this situation. We now have to return, as the minister has told us, to Master Fard Muhammad. He said he saw down through the wheel of time every last thing that's going on right now. Do we not think that he prepared something to protect us from this?
That's right.
Do we believe that Satan is interested in making us safe?
Not at all.
The same people who are trying to jab us with this death vaccine are the same people telling us how to be safe. And some of us are obeying them blindly. There's a difference between compliance with authority for the sake of civilization, for the sake of maintaining a measure of peace, for other reasons. But when you lose sight of who you're dealing with, you can fall prey. And your mind can be taken over by the external Satan, who will ultimately lead you to his way of life. This is a war of the minds. This is all or nothing. We have a way of life that we will follow. And that way of life doesn't come from the enemy. It comes from Allah God. So we're evaluating everything. And anything that can compromise our health, we're not going to engage in that. We're going to follow what God in person gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to protect us. And we're going to follow a way of life, a set of restrictive laws, a set of guidelines. It's time to separate on every level. We're not going to run around talking about what the white man said, what the CDC said, what Anthony Fauci said. You better read this article, because there's nothing spooky. Study and pay attention. Look at what Brother Carlos gave us from that letter, where Master Fard Muhammad said to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, don't cry. Think of the future and steady your nerve. Look at what this black doctor and scientist said. We're done with fear. What did Minister Farrakhan tell us? What has he been teaching us forever? Fear no one but Allah. We have to be careful that we don't, on some conscious or subconscious level, look to the enemy for protection.
That's called insanity.
That's right.
Look to the one.
That's right.
That we were told, go where he says go. Stay away from where he says stay away from. But he warned us in the last few days, be careful about using my name. Be careful about using my name. To explain or justify your actions. Make sure you know what you're saying when you say, Minister Farrakhan said. Is that what he said or is that what you wanted him to say? And that's your interpretation of what he said. And are you frozen in time in what you're saying? Or are you continually looking and learning and watching and listening and praying? And I'm not saying this because I know any of this. I'm just saying what I am taught and hear and read and watch the example among us. Because I have 8 million flaws to deal with. But this isn't one of them. This isn't one of them. When I say this, I mean being careless with attributing things to him. If you decide you want to do things a certain way to cater to your own fears, then say that. Be very careful. And this is why Brother Terrence tells us every single week. And sometimes we're thinking to ourselves, why does he keep saying that? I saw it. I saw the criterion. I read the excerpts in the paper.
Come on, come on,
you
come
can't
on.
Read, you can't go over that message enough. Trust and believe. You cannot
That's right.
go. That's a different kind of message. It's,
That's
a,
right.
It's a living entity. Okay? So each time
That's
right. you go back, as time passes and things are made known, you see what you didn't see. I'm bearing witness to that.
That's right.
Working on this COVID section. And just the coming together of people from all walk of life, black, brown, red, yellow, white, exposing lies and giving you truth. You have to have enough respect for what is being given to at least read it and constantly go over, read, study, and listen to the criterion and every single message that he has given since that time. We're not each other's judge. We're not that. So that's not the point of this evening. The point is context. Everything is about context as well as the time in which it is given. And look at what we got from our archivist tonight. I didn't know Brother Terrence, or I missed that, where he said one day we'll speak to a million.
Come on.
And here's just the minister. Part. Yes, sir, dear apostle. We will.
Come on now.
And then what was it? 23 years later? It came to pass.
Wow.
There's nothing
as he watched the word
the Muhammad said or did that didn't come to pass. And I just close on this.
Huh.
The minister told the world
leave that vaccine alone. Don't take it before they ever got it to market.
Way before. Teach. Teach.
That's right. So if we didn't believe before, we should believe now.
That's right.
This is a man who has a direct connection to the Lord of the worlds. So
that's right.
With that, Brother Terrence, I'm going to get off of that. And let's go back to our phones because we still had some more callers. And we still have a few minutes left. We got
Brother one call at a time. There it is.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Wa alaykum.
How are you?
How are you, sir? Oh, I'm doing great. What about yourself?
I'm doing good, you know, as it comes the 26th anniversary of the Million Man March, which you hear about Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech like every single year in history class, but nobody wants to talk about the Million Man March.
Come on.
Come on,
nobody wants to talk about how the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad laid the blueprint for some of the biggest civil rights activists that we know today.
Come on.
That made the history books. There's a reason he's called the Most Honorable. our teacher today and our guide today and his student being the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As-salamu alaykum.
Drop the mic.
That's how he do it. Yes. He just comes on, drop them all, walk off.
Brings it. Okay. We have Sister Karima has a comment. Let me get her in. We're down to about 2 minutes.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum
salam.
I'll be very quick. I just wanted to share that according to the United States Department of Justice, their definition of the word terrorism is the unlawful use of force or violence committed by a group or individual against person or property to intimidate or coerce a government, the civilian population, or any segment thereof in furtherance of political or social objectives. A terrorist goal is to cause mass casualties, loss of critical resources, disruption of vital services, disruption of the economy, individual and mass panic. A terrorist weapon of choice is biological, nuclear, incendiary, chemical, and or explosive. So, and stating that the vaccine is mandatory by the president, who actually does not have the authority to do that, because that's the House and the
Sister Karina. No, you just dropped a bomb at the very end of the program. This is terrorism. That's the bottom line.
Yes, ma'am.
Bottom line. Yes.
And that's the Department of Justice, right?
Yes.
Look that up.
Domestic terrorism.
That's the bomb. Yes, Yeah, domestic terrorism forcing this vaccine. Thank you, Sister Karima, and hopefully you'll call back in next week and we can go a little bit deeper into that. Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. And I want to thank you, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona, Sister Pamela, Brother Student Minister Carlos, Sister Sherelle, all of you who called in, all of you who are logged into blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.